This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
God, our Creator, love us and give us life. God, our Redeemer, love us and embrace us always in that love. God the Spirit, love us and warm our hearts and our souls with your love. Amen. Good morning. If I could ask you to take out the red books of common prayer that are in the pews and open to page 867. And on page 867, there is something called the Articles of Religion that were created by our church in its infancy years when a bunch of the church leaders got together and sort of tried to put down on paper what we believe to be Episcopalian. And you will notice on the bottom of page 867, paragraph number one, is of faith in the Holy Trinity. And it goes like this. You can read along. There is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body, parts, or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible, and in unity of this Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Don't all get excited at once. As a doctrine, it is not something that makes me want to jump up and down. But as an experience of our life, it is incredible. This place rocked these past 6 days with the life of the Trinity in these walls, with over 400 kids singing and shouting and dancing about the love of Jesus. That's what all our life really is meant to be, an experience of the Trinity. To understand the Trinity, it is important for us to begin with the creation story. And it was all good. Mary Anita, you did such a good job with that today. There's too many times when we want to start the Bible with Genesis chapter 2. And we want to start with thinking about the fall of Adam and Eve. But it starts when God made it as very good. And this is God's dream for our life throughout eternity. And the only way that can happen for any of us is to, as the poets would say, enter into the dance of the Trinity. You see, it's all about a relationship. It's all about this perfect relationship that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If I was to say the word triangulation, for most of us, that would give a very negative connotation. You know, you're in a relationship and somebody has something happen with this other person. So instead of going to that other person, they come to you. Well, you won't believe what she said and what she did to me. And then that person will not go back to that person. They come to you instead and say, well, you really don't know the whole story because this is what really happened. We laugh because it's true, because this is what happens when we mess things up, when the communication is not working in a perfect sense. This is Father's Day, and I'm sure many of you can relate to this. We would want something, and so what do? You go to Mom. Mom, can we go to the ice cream store? What does Mom say? Go ask your father. You go to your father. Dad, Can we go to the ice cream store? Go ask your mother. And of course, we catch on to this after a while because the follow-up comment was always, well, if it's okay with mom, it's okay with me. So we try to short-circuit it, and what would we do? We'd go to dad and say, Dad, we'd like to go to the ice cream store, and by the way, mom already said it's okay. Right? We mess up the communication. Now, think of the Trinity as relationship in terms of if everything was always being communicated perfectly and directly. What an incredible world we would live in. This is what the dance of the Trinity is all about. Perfect relationship with all people at all times, from the beginning of Genesis, and as Jesus says, to the end of the age. When we enter into this dance of a recognition and an allowance for God to be in every part of our lives, we experience this Trinitarian relationship. You know, we've got all these crazy analogies that we come up with, and we've talked about them over the years. You know, you can't explain the Trinity. You know, there was Martin Luther who said something like, if you try to explain the Trinity or deny its existence, you're jeopardizing your salvation. But if you try to truly understand the Trinity, you jeopardize your sanity. Because it is a mystery. It cannot be totally explained. We try to come to an understanding of it. We won't find the word Trinity itself in the Bible, but we continue to find evidence of it, of Father, Son, and Spirit throughout. Even in the creation story, the Spirit brooded over the waters. We hear from John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus. Jesus was there from the beginning as well. So we use these different analogies to try to understand it. You know, three persons, one God. Okay, Patrick comes up with the shamrock. Okay, three leaves, one shamrock. We come up with the idea of, well, water can be in three different forms. It can be liquid, it can be ice, it can be steam. We come up with the idea, well, one woman could be both a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. And we come up with all these ways, but it really doesn't capture the essence. And the important thing is, in terms of this relational thing going on. You know, if you study quantum physics, Margaret Wheatley does some great work with this, that when you get down to the basic subparticle elements of life as we now understand them, it's all in terms of these subparticles getting the definition of what that element is through the relationship that exists between those subparticles. And if one of those subparticles ceases to have the relationship, the element is not the same. So even in the way that things were created, there is this Trinitarian existence. So it becomes for us crucial to continue to enter into that. So here's a practical way for us to think about this. I use this example in my Episcopal 101 class a lot because it becomes important for us on our spiritual journey. When you pray to God, who do you pray to? Because there are going to be different times in our spiritual walk when we are going to pray to any of the three persons in the Trinity. There are times in my life where I get myself into such a mess that I sure hope that there is a power mightier than me that can get me out of it. And when those things happen, I pray to God as Father, even God as Mother, Protector, Creator, all-powerful. There are times in my life where I feel like nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. And it sure helps me to be able to pray to a God who is beside me, and that's Jesus. Somebody who went through everything I go through, can understand me totally, then I pray to Jesus. There are other times in my life where I am feeling so good, and I am feeling like I can go out and I can just set the world on fire. I can go out and live that great commission that Jesus called us to do today. I'm ready for the rocket ship to take off. And then I pray to God, the Holy Spirit, so that I'll stay on the right path and understand it ain't about me. It's about entering into doing God's will. So this dance of Trinity, because God wants to be involved from the beginning to the middle to the end, above us, beside us, and within us. And when we see the Trinity as such, like that, wow, that is something to be get excited about, much more than the articles of religion, because it has to do with the way and the attitude with which we approach our existence. I ran across a quote that I think sort of puts in better terms what I've been trying to get at today. It comes from an author by the name of Catherine Lacunia. She writes this: "The Trinity affirms that it belongs to God's very nature to be committed to us, that God's covenant with us is irrevocable, that God's face is immutably turned toward us in love, that God's presence to us is utterly reliable and constant." To put it in the terms that we use with the kids all week long, God loves us no matter what. And there's only one way I can respond to that, just like the kids did. Thank you, God. Amen.